Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. In this episode, I'm joined with Julia, who is on the podcast to share the story of her second birth, which she describes as very healing and powerful. Julia, so lovely to have you on. Where would you like to start? Would you like to talk us through your pregnancy or your first birth?
Thank you for having me. Regarding my pregnancies, there's not really much to tell because they were just really easy. I barely felt pregnant. I had not really strong pregnancy symptoms. It was really, really easy. The second pregnancy was definitely a bit more chaotic towards the end of it, the third trimester, especially after our scan with NHS. Our first baby was measuring on a smaller side. However, no one was really concerned about the baby. So when he came out, he was on the second centile. So he was a small baby, 2.4 kilograms. However, he was just so healthy, perfectly fine, nothing going on with him. So we knew that the second baby could potentially be smaller as well. So I kept that in my mind. And in our family, all the babies were kind of small. I am quite small. My partner is not very tall. I was a premature baby, so my birth weight was really, really low as well. I think I was 1 kilogram, 200 grams. So we knew all of that. And basically, we weren't really worried. I felt very peaceful in my second pregnancy because usually you have that gut feeling, don't you, where you know there's something going on. And since the very start, I just felt very, very peaceful and just happy and just going through the pregnancy with absolutely no problems. With my first pregnancy, I wasn't really informed about anything. All I did was just watch One Born Every Minute for the most of my pregnancy. So I had the idea of, you know, women screaming or being very peaceful. It was just, you know, two ends of a spectrum. And I thought, well, how bad can we get? How bad can you really get? Like, I'm not really like an explosive person. So I thought, well, I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to go crazy. It's going to be fine. When we get there, we'll manage. We'll find a way. Which, oh boy, I was very wrong about it. Let me tell you. So just to put everything into perspective, I think I am going to start with my first labor and just say how just basically traumatic it was and how it impacted my postpartum experience as well, which was very, very difficult for me. So basically, my labor was just 1 hour, 8 minutes. It was really quick labor. It ended up in me being put to sleep and having episiotomy and baby being taken out with forceps, which was very crazy.
Gosh, I was expecting you to say that you didn't get into the hospital because it was so fast. But how did you? Wow.
We were actually very lucky, because we had an appointment, a 39-week appointment with a midwife in the birthing center, because our community midwives were just busy, so they asked us to come to the birthing center. So we did that, which is right next to the hospital. We went there. I had been having Braxton Hicks very, very often. Sometimes I had like episodes of having them every 10 minutes for 9 hours a day, 2 weeks leading to my birth. So I wasn't really concerned about anything. I just mentioned them. The midwife said, let me check you, let me examine you just to make sure you're not in labor, because they do seem like you kind of have to focus a little bit. So they checked me. I was 4 centimeters dilated. However, I was not really in labor because the contractions were so inconsistent and I just didn't feel like something was happening. So I wasn't very concerned. However, during the check, the midwife did a sweep without my consent, basically. Just I assumed just because I was 4 centimeters and 39 weeks pregnant, you know, which caused me to bleed straight away. And they said, oh, well, just because you're bleeding, you're gonna have to go up to the hospital, to the labor ward, just to be monitored, just in case. And from that point, I started to panic, to be fair, because I didn't know what was going on. No one told me that sometimes, first of all, bleeding can be normal, because by that point, I had not lost my mucus plug. I had not had a bloody show or anything, which I don't know what the bleeding was from. To be fair, we never really found out. But I was sent up to the
From the
labor ward
sweep. So
from
sweeps
a
can cause
sweep.
bleeding. Yeah. Carry
Yes,
on,
and
sorry.
when I asked them, is that normal that you can bleed after examination? They said, oh no, we just did the sweep because that's what we do to all the women. They said that in front of my husband, and because we weren't really informed about anything, we were like, well, okay, well, it is what it is. So we ended up being put on the monitoring and had some tests done. I kept bleeding a little bit, but it was all fine. The Braxton Hicks went away. As it was like a really, really busy day for the midwives. I was on induction ward for a really long time. I think we came to the hospital around 9, and then we stayed there all day without really anyone checking on us. The first check we had was at 8 p.m. when someone came to us and said, oh, how are you feeling? If you feel okay, you can go home, but we just have to get the doctor to sign the papers. However, they got busy again, so we stayed there overnight. And it was, I think, around 2 in the morning. I woke up and I started to feel contractions. So I knew it wasn't Braxton Hicks because it felt so different, more like period cramping. And I was like, well, yeah, fine, all fine. I went to have a shower, went back to bed, went to sleep, and I woke up to my waters breaking. And I said, oh, to my husband, oh, I think my waters just broke. Do you mind just getting a midwife? And the midwife came in after around 5 minutes. She said, oh yes, your waters are broken, you're 6 centimeters dilated, let's get you downstairs. And from then everything just hit the fan, from my waters breaking to me being put to sleep and baby being out. It was around 15 minutes, so everything I'm gonna tell you now
15.
is within 15 minutes frame. So
Wow.
while I was getting down to the labor ward, my body started to push. So the midwives around me, while we're in the middle of a hallway, they were shouting, Julia, do not push. Julia, do not push. You're not fully dilated. You're gonna hurt the baby. You can kill the baby. Julia, we need you to stop until we get you and doctor can see you. And at that point, I was just screaming the place down, just like in a movie, screaming the place down. I was panicking. No one was telling me what was happening. My body was pushing the baby out. I had no control all over it. And I was tensing really, really hard because they were telling me not to push, but I felt the baby coming out. And basically, when they wheeled me into the room, they said, we can see the baby's coming. However, the heart rate dropped to around 30 beats a minute for a baby. So they hit the emergency button. The doctor came in, asked what was going on. They said, this is the situation. And all I could remember was the doctor just saying, okay, darling, it's going to be all over soon. Just knock her out. The next thing I know was me getting all dizzy and basically being put to sleep, thinking, I'm probably gonna have a C-section because that's what came into my mind first, right? They put you to sleep. So that's what I thought. And then obviously the next thing I know is me waking up from being put to sleep, and I could see with a corner of my eye that my husband was sat in the chair just with this little human burrito in his arm. And it makes me very emotional because my first thought was, you did this to me. I don't want to see you now. That's what I thought about the baby. I was so traumatized. I was so confused with everything. I just didn't even want to look at the baby for around 10 minutes. So I just pretended to be asleep, that I just didn't wake up, just to kind of take a little bit time and the courage to actually hold the baby and see the baby. So that was it, and it all happened within around 15 minutes of my waters breaking. It was ridiculous. And from that moment when I woke up, my postpartum experience started. And for the next 6 months, I was paranoid. I was seeing ghosts. I thought someone is gonna steal my baby, that my baby is gonna get hurt by someone. It was horrible. Every single day, I was just fighting with myself, and I didn't really tell anyone because I thought, well, they're gonna take away my baby because I cannot take care of it. For around 6 months as well, I was in so much pain from the forceps. I was struggling to walk for weeks after delivery. I was bleeding very heavily for around 6 weeks. So I think that's it.
Gosh, sorry, I'm just with you in your story. I'm really sorry that happened.
I was really sorry too, because no one really explained anything to me, what happened, why it did happen, if we had any other options. In my head, I just thought, how is it possible that my baby was almost out and it was easier to put me to sleep, cut me open, use the forceps to take the baby out, other than maybe try to calm me down? Because I was so stressed,
And
and
let
the
your
baby
body
was
do it.
stressed, and let my body do it.
Because ultimately it's a fast labor, and of course that's going to do something to the heart rate when your body's squeezing and pressing them in the birth canal. And yeah, you're right to have those questions. And did you have a debrief where they could properly explain and show you the notes and show you the heart rate readings and if it stabilized again or if it was a it's dropped and then they acted but then it stabilized? Like, have you gone through though that pro did you manage to go through that process of debriefing with them and them explaining things?
Not in the hospital. No one really talked to us in the hospital. They kind of sent us home the next day because, as I said, it was just so hectic. It was such a hectic time. I did ask for a debrief around 3 months postpartum, and I had a call with midwife. It was like a 45-minute call where she went through all the notes. You just I don't know, it's hard to explain anything because it went so quick, and they said they did everything by the guidelines, and it all made sense in the notes. However, when I did ask the question about why it had to be so many interventions in such a long amount of time, they couldn't really answer the question. They said this was the best option, and the doctor was 99% sure that he could pull the baby out with one pull of the forceps. So that's what they did.
I know all I'm thinking is why the hell did they tell you to stop pushing and that you weren't fully dilated? What if you just acted on instinct in that moment? Would your body have just, it sounded like your body was doing the fetal ejection reflex. Would it have just
Yes,
ejected your baby? Was the
definitely.
delay, like, stop pushing, the panic is obviously then,
Because I was fighting it so hard and tensing myself so hard, it stressed the baby because the baby could not just come
couldn't
out.
finish the job.
I think it was because when my waters broke, I was 6 centimeters, and it all happened within like 15, 12, 15 minutes. They just couldn't believe that you could dilate so quickly and be ready to push. I think that was the case.
Oh gosh, I'm just as I listened to you, I went from feeling anger and then sadness. But I know that this podcast isn't, you know, we're not here to, and I certainly don't want to leave you open with any trauma at the end of this. I know we have spoken about this, and it's hopefully you have done some work on releasing the trauma, and
I definitely
you
have,
have,
yes. I feel I just put that in the back of my head. As I said, my second birth experience was just so healing. It was so amazing. I can't wait to talk about it. I feel so at peace with my first birth. And I'm like, I had that dream birth. I don't need anything else in my life.
I'm so pleased. Oh, okay, so now we're moving into the light now, and that's amazing, and I'm so glad that you've got that, and you're coming in this space where you've got these two stories to share, and not just the one. So, but thank you for sharing your first birth. I will put a trigger warning on it because I do think some people are sensitive. Obviously, you know, I'm pregnant now, but as a birth educator, like, I stare these things in the face. Like, I don't need personally any trigger warnings because this is the reality. Like, you know, but then again, I'm in a totally different headspace to most people in terms of education and where I'm at with the way that I feel towards birth. So before we close off on your first birth, is there anything that you would say in terms of learning? Because I do think we can learn from our experiences, and we can learn from each other. How would what I guess what would what would what kind of learning would you like to share from that experience that might help others?
I think maybe the biggest lesson from my perspective is don't just assume that everything is gonna go okay. Don't have the mindset which I had, like, it can't be that bad, you know? Women do it every single day. When it comes to the birth, we'll handle it somehow. I think that is the worst mindset you can have, just to like ignore it and think that we'll just sort something out when it comes to it. I think being informed is everything, not only for the birth, but also for the pregnancy, which I'm gonna tell you a bit more about the last few weeks of my second pregnancy, how being informed helped me to have the dream birth as well.
Lovely. Thank you. I would agree over and over again with that statement. Don't wait and see. Don't put it off. Stop preparing. Let's hear your second birth story.
Well, I'm gonna start with the last couple of weeks of my pregnancy. From around 28, 30 weeks pregnant, we found out that the baby was measuring smaller than our first baby, so around the first centile. We had a lovely chat with a consultant midwife after the scan. She explained usually what procedures they do, what monitoring they do when you have a small baby, so extra scans. We got referred to a fetal medicine doctor in Coventry, so we went there for a scan just to double check if the NHS scan was correct, because as we know, there's a little bit of a margin error on them, let's put it that way. So the doctor said that yes, the baby is measuring small. However, anatomically, the baby is completely perfect. There was no concerns regarding placenta, the blood flow from placenta to the baby, the surroundings of the baby, or me. My both pregnancies have been really, really healthy, completely no problems. So we weren't really worried. And as I said, because I read quite a lot about small babies and just pregnancy in general this time around, I just felt very peaceful. I listened to them. However, I didn't really make any decisions from what different people were telling us. I just knew what I wanted. I knew that the baby was okay. The baby was moving loads. I felt fine. I said, I understand the baby is small, and maybe I just grow small babies, just like my first baby was small, but I felt very peaceful. So I knew the baby was okay. And from that scan, we had to go to the hospital twice a week for placenta scans, just to make sure that the baby was okay, that the waters were fine, and that the blood flow was okay as well. And we had to have the monitoring twice a week as well, just to see if the baby wasn't stressed out by anything. Every single week, everything was completely fine. Then we saw our consultant at 35 weeks. He said, well, I am very concerned about you and about the baby, and let's book you an induction for 37 weeks to get the baby out so we know it's gonna be okay. And I was just kind of shocked. I was like, I'm 35 weeks pregnant and you are already booking an induction. For what reason? And he said, because your baby is small. And I said, well, the baby is small, however, everything is working as it should. So why can't we leave the baby in to let it grow as much as it wants to gain that weight? Because the risk of having a small baby is the baby can get distressed a lot more easier than a bigger baby when the labor comes, which was the case of my first baby as well, because he was quite small. But the consultant couldn't really give us any answers. He just kind of jumped from one information to the other without answering any questions. So we kind of stopped really engaging in any type of conversations with him. I just told him, yes, you can book that induction for your peace of mind, but I can't guarantee I'm gonna show up for it. And he said, you'll change your mind, you'll see. So we just walked out and we just kept going with everything that we were doing. I saw my community midwife, who was really lovely, and I said, what do you think about our situation? How else can we approach that? Because our consultant is not really cooperating. She said, how about you talk to a consultant midwife? See what she says. So I had an appointment with her, and she said, I don't see why you can't go over 37 weeks, because you are healthy, the baby is healthy, the surroundings of the baby are completely fine. There are obviously risks, so if you can accept the risks of potential things happening, as in placenta failing, which is not really, it's not really a thing, as we know. The longer you go, the placenta doesn't really just fail. It doesn't stop working for no reason. So I said, I accept that risk. I am happy with that risk. So we just kept going to the scans. Everything was perfectly fine. And we went for the induction, and I saw the doctor, and I said, I don't want the induction, thank you. I just want you to sign the paper so I can go home. And the doctor was a bit shocked. He said, well, why do you not want induction? And I just told him, I do not want to have that conversation with you. No offense. I know the risk. I accept all the risks. I'm happy with the baby. We just want to go home at this point.
Can I just ask where, what was your husband's position on this? Because you obviously are sounding like a very strong, competent, in control woman, and often our partners can get side with the medical establishment and get and start to get worried, because obviously if you've got someone of authority telling you something, then it, I know my husband would be like, but shouldn't we listen? You know, really, or do we have enough knowledge here to make this decision? So where was your husband at this point in terms of his mindset?
He told me, Julia, you can't be smarter than the doctors. Don't be silly. That was the first thing he said. However, I tried to explain different things to him regarding my mindset, as I said, I felt very, very in peace in my pregnancy. And I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with the baby. I'm not in denial that the baby is small, but I know the baby is okay and I am okay. And basically I bought your a birth box, and also I spoke to some other birth workers that I knew. And I gathered all the information. I sat him down one day and I said, listen, this is what I've gathered from different people. This is what our doctors tell us. Let's try to work out a plan that I feel comfortable with and you feel comfortable with. And we just had that conversation. And he said, you know what? This is your body. This is your experience. I will not blame you for anything. If anything happens, I want you to be happy with your choices, whatever your choice is, and we're gonna get through it because I can't think about your postpartum experience being the same as your first one because I could see how much you were struggling. And he just let me take control, and whenever he had to back me up with something, he did. And he
Love
just
that so
let me take
much.
the steering wheel.
I love that so much. I've actually got tears in my eyes. That's amazing. Yeah, I think that is just what you need, right? You need someone's backing and someone to say you drive this. You know, I'm gonna sit here with you and be by your side, but this is your body, your pregnancy, and I'm gonna be with you regardless. And I think what he said, even just regardless of what happens, you know, good or bad outcome. And that's really powerful.
Yes, and it is very scary. I'm not gonna lie. It was scary to make these decisions, big decisions, because I knew that the only person I would blame you would be myself.
But if you went into the hospital and listened to their advice and something went wrong, who would you blame then?
The
The
medical team.
hospital. Aha.
Because
And
that's how
herein
I
lies
felt
the
with my
problem.
first birth.
Herein lies the problem, though, is that we have to take full responsibility. And this is something that I have come to learn now over only and during this pregnancy through reading different books with educators that I actually disagree with 80% of the time, but I still appreciate that 20%. And I look at their work and they flip and challenge me. And they get right under my skin with this whole idea of you've got to take responsibility for your choices. And so when you walk into the hospital doors and you have a birth with the cascade, you can't blame it on anyone. And you shouldn't blame yourself. It's not blame is the wrong word, but own the decision and own the choices. And because I feel the same with possibly considering an unassisted birth, which, as you know, is where you don't have a medical professional
Yes.
present. And my big thing that I'm now grappling with is how would I deal with my own shame and blame if something went wrong? And I asked myself, well, what happens if you go into the hospital? You need to still be the person in charge and taking responsibility for your choices, whichever route you go. So this is something that I'm only really delving into now in this pregnancy with the choices that I've got. But yeah, and the weight, what you're describing is the weight of the responsibility that you felt making those decisions. It's unfair that you feel that way when you decline. We should also not, I don't think we should feel a weight of responsibility, but we should feel like we're driving it at all times.
I agree 100%. I agree. We were planning a home birth in the first place. However, after that long chat with my husband, he said, I would feel more confident in supporting you if we went to a hospital. And I said, this is a compromise I can make with you. However, whatever happens in the hospital, it's on my terms. So that's where we ended up. Where was I? I completely forgot.
So you were navigating the conversations around small baby. You just declined the induction. Yeah, carry on.
Got it. Okay, so 3 days forward, 37 plus three, another episode of Braxton Hicks, the usual. Nothing concerning, for around 9 hours. I wasn't really concerned because I had been having them for weeks. So I was just kind of lying in bed. And what time was that? It was around 3 in the morning, I think. I had like a strong Abraxane hic with a little bit of cramping, I would say. I would put it that way. I wasn't really concerned. However, I felt like I had peed myself. But then again, I thought, oh, maybe actually my waters are trickling. So I stood up, I went to the toilet, nothing happened there, went back to bed, and the next contraction that came, it changed. I knew that I was in labor then because it wasn't just Braxton Hicks, it was that rush of, I don't know if other people experienced it, but when I was in my first labor and in the second one, whenever the Braxton Hicks changed into contractions, it might sound a bit funny, but I felt that rush of hormones and my breasts were like tingling and they start leaking colostrum, which I hadn't had leaking colostrum at any point in my pregnancy before, just when I went into labor. So I knew something was happening. However, I said, okay, I'm just gonna leave it there and I'm just gonna try to go back to sleep. So I was in and out of sleep, kind of waking up and feeling the surges coming. Just enjoyed them. I played some meditation from your birth box and some relaxing music from YouTube. I was just kind of vibing in bed. It was lovely. And then another two surges came and my waters kept trickling. So I knew there was something going on. So I said to my husband, I think my waters are trickling. I'm having surges. I think this might be the start of the labor. So we've got a 2-year-old with us as well at home. He was asleep. So we called the grandparents and then we said, we're just gonna go and check if my waters broke. Because I promised my husband that, you know, I want myself and him to feel reassured with everything. So we just went to the hospital for a quick checkup. I said, I don't want anyone touching me down there. I said, I'm happy to do the breaking water swap, I think they call it, myself. So I went to the toilet, did that myself. They said, no, it came back negative. You're definitely not in labor. They put me on monitoring for a bit. They said, it looks like you are having contractions every 3 to 5 minutes. However, if you want, you can go home. And I was like, okay, great, I'm gonna go home. So we went home, went back to sleep. My waters kept trickling. We woke up around 8 in the morning. The surges start getting a little bit more intense. However, I could still breathe through them fine. I could still walk around. I wasn't really concerned. I felt fine, very happy. We had a big breakfast, and then I had a bloody show, which kind of told me that yes, I am definitely in labor. We called the grandparents to pick up our toddler, so they took him away. And just because I was bleeding, which I wasn't really concerned about, but then again, I said, well, with our first child, we had the bleeding, so maybe we should go and get checked. So we went back around 10. They checked me. I was 4 centimeters dilated by that point. And they said, oh
Did
yes,
you
your
say
water.
no sweep?
I said yes. I
Yeah, yeah,
said,
yeah.
just check me, but nothing more.
Yeah. When you heard 4 centimeters, did you sort of think, oh gosh, like it could escalate? What were you thinking?
I don't know. I was just so calm, you know. I was just vibing. I was just, yes, the baby's coming. It's a bit early, but fine. I'm fine with it. If baby's happy to come, I'm happy for it to arrive, you know, to meet us. And they said, "Well, your waters have broken, actually." And I said, "Well, yes, I know." So the midwife said, "It could be just a false negative last time you were here." And I said, Well, it is what it is. So the midwife went away, and another midwife came in, and it was like angel appearing in the room. I told her after the delivery that I am going to remember her for the rest of my life. She was such a gem, such an angel. She was a newly qualified midwife. This was the first baby that she would be delivering after being qualified. I said to her, "Hi, my name is Julia. We're having a baby today. I would like to be in the pool room, please." And she just looked at me. She said, "I'm not sure if we have that pool room free. And because you are high risk, your baby is small, I would not really recommend it. But I can check with our midwife in charge." And I said, "I accept the risks. Please get the pool ready." And she said, "Okay, then let's go." So my husband was
Do you
just
know what? I
behind
think
me.
those gem midwives, like, they secretly love it when you stand your ground and you say, because they're like, of course, it's your legal right to choose this. The gem ones, I've been with clients where they've stood their ground and they just get this little, like, little look that they're like, this woman knows what she wants and it's okay. Yeah, carry on.
She was really happy. She said, "As long as you accept the risks, if you know the risk, would you like me to go through them again?" I'm like, "I'm good. Let's get the ball rolling." So she took us to the labor ward. They only had one room with birthing pool and the wireless monitoring, which I kind of wanted because I said that's gonna keep me very peaceful because I will know that the baby's okay, so I can keep myself very calm and know that everything is going okay. So obviously, the first room I gave birth in, it was very medicalized. It was really bright. There was loads of weird stuff around. It was quite small, very intimidating. But the second one, the one with the birthing pool, there was no windows in it. The ceiling was covered in LED like lamps. They were set on like a very nice purpley color. It was quite dark in there. They had aromatherapy, what were they called? Diffusers going. Sorry, yes, diffusers. They had aromatherapy diffusers going. It smelled like lavender. They had forest music going on in the background. It was great. I had the biggest smile on my face. I saw the peanut balls and the yoga balls, and I just said, "You can leave the bed. I'm not gonna go on the bed yet. I'm not even gonna look at it." So I was just pacing around and pacing around and pacing around and just bouncing on the yoga balls and doing some lunges here and there. Basically, it was quite a funny moment because the midwife said, "I would, if you came here and we didn't put you on monitoring and we didn't check you, I thought you weren't in labor because I was so quiet and I was making jokes and I was laughing." I was just vibing. I was so happy, I'm not gonna lie. I was just so excited. The surges got a bit more intense. So we came to the hospital at 10, right? It was probably around like 3 p.m., I would say, that I was in and out of the water. I really enjoyed the water. It was very relaxing. I felt like I could really relax my pelvic floor. I felt like when I was standing up or just walking around, I kind of felt like it was a bit awkward to kind of fully relax because the waters kept trickling out of me. So I felt very comfortable just being in that water, just listening to the music and having snacks and just squeezing the comb. However, at one point it was 4 p.m. The surges started to be very, very intense. They kept coming one after another, one after another. And at that point, I wasn't checked, so I don't know how dilated I was. But I think I hit that transition at that point because I had that feeling of, I don't think I can do it anymore. I was so exhausted by then. I was so just not sure about how long it's going to be. I think that was the worst thing that I had in my head at that point when I hit the transition, that my first labor was so quick. And I thought, why is it taking so long? Even though it was just a couple of hours, my whole birth was 5 hours, 40 minutes. So it wasn't very long at all, if you look at it that way. However, I was kind of struggling at that point, and I had no pain relief other than the water and the comb and just hypnobirthing, and I felt like I needed a bit more at that point. And I kind of broke down. I start crying because I felt the tension in my body. And the midwife came to me and she asked me, "What are you scared about, Julia?" And I said, "I'm scared that I'm not gonna see the baby come out again. I'm scared that everything is gonna go wrong and I'm not gonna have that experience. And this is our last baby. My husband doesn't want any more children. So I felt like this was my last chance and I had to. I was so desperate to have that positive experience that I needed something to keep me going, to keep me in check. And I thought like we need something. And my worst nightmare was that I would not see the baby come out because they would put me to sleep again. And the midwife said, "Okay, let's figure something out together. Let's figure out what we can do." And she went through the different pain relief. Which I wasn't happy with anything, to be fair. I was like, I don't want any of that. I don't want to have to come out of the water. I was just so confused with what else I could do. And we heard a knock on the door, and the anesthesiologist came in, and she said, "Hi, I'm just here in case you need me." And she saw me crying, and she said, "How can I help you? Can I do anything for you?" And I basically repeated the same thing as I said to my midwife, that this is what I was scared about, that I was gonna put to sleep again. And she said, "Have you ever heard about a mobile epidural and patient-controlled epidural?" And I said, "No, I haven't. I know what epidural is, but I don't want that because I don't want to be numb from waist down." And she said, "Well, I've got a little trick for that, which is called the mobile epidural." So she basically told me about that you can have an epidural and a really low dose, and you can control it yourself, and you can still walk around and feel everything, which I never really knew because epidural was something I was so against. I didn't even read about it. It was just off the table for me. And I think at that point, I was so desperate that I needed something to keep me going, but at the same time, very peaceful in a way too, because I felt like, oh, maybe there's an option for me to try that birth that I want and have that backup plan that I'm not gonna be put to sleep. So we did the epidural, and I think that was the best decision of my whole labor. Even though I was so against it, it worked so well where I could still walk around the bed. I refused the catheter. I didn't want that. I said, "No, thank you. I can go to the toilet myself," which gave me that power of being in control with my body. I would say in terms of like the contractions, I could still feel them very intensely. However, that epidural took that I'm gonna go crazy edge off. I think maybe it was like 20% less pain than.
That's really interesting because sometimes with the mobile epidurals, what ends up happening is the women top them up so much that they end up having numb legs. But what you did was you really kept it on the low dose, it seemed.
I did, yes. I told them that I didn't want the automatic pump to keep going. I just had the button, and whenever I needed it, I just pressed it.
Had you
So
tried the gas and air at all by this point? Just out of interest.
I did. I had it in my hand, and I was using it. However, I was told that I had an irritable uterus, so my uterus was kind of overstimulating itself. So my contractions were back to back, back to back, back to the back for hours, which was very exhausting because I felt like I had no break from them, which caused my first labor to be so quick. However, later midwife said because probably you were in the water, that kind of slowed everything down,
Very interesting.
which
Yeah,
is
I've
very
seen that happen a
interesting.
lot with my clients. They get in the water and the labor just plateaus, which sometimes they're like, I don't want to get out because it's going to go intense again. One day I spent like 10 hours with a mum just in the day. She was like, I'm not getting out. I don't want it.
That's so funny.
Yeah, carry on,
But
carry on.
in my situation, it was a good thing that it slowed things down because I had kind of more, my body had more time to prepare for that, entrance of the baby. And I had that epidural, and I felt like everything just kind of went away. In terms of stress, I felt really back in control. As I said, the surges were still very intense because I wasn't using it that much. I just pressed it once or pressed it. I think I pressed it 3 times just in general, when I had it. So from getting that epidural to baby being out, it was probably around just 1 hour. The baby came at 5:01. So when I had the epidural, obviously I could not be in the water, but I was kind of happy with it, because I was just getting a bit uncomfortable there. So I ended up sitting in a very weird position on the bed. I was kind of like, if you do yoga, Malasana position, right? When you sit on your feet and you have your knees very wide open, I was in that position, however, on my tiptoes. Just holding on to the top of the bed, just kind of swaying back and forth, just enjoying it, enjoying the surges, really getting into the zone. And I started to feel an urge to push again. And I said to my midwife, I feel like I need to push. And obviously my last check was at the hospital admission, right? So I didn't know if I was ready or not. However, the midwife said, trust your body. If you feel like you need to push, then push. And I said, okay, let's see how it goes. So I went all fours, and then I kind of grabbed the top of the bed. I put myself into a kiko position, right? So calves wider than your knees, which was very comfortable. And when I felt that feeling again that I needed to push, it was so different from the first pushing experience I had as well, because the first one was so overwhelming. I was fighting it so hard. It wasn't really working. It was really painful and uncomfortable and just kind of like it felt very, very weird. But with my second birth, it felt so natural. All I had to do was just make very low grunting noises, and I was just kind of breathing down using my like ab muscles. I don't know if it makes sense, but I just felt like it felt really nice to just breathe down and really relax my pelvic floor. And then after like 2 times of doing that, I felt the baby moving down. And I got really excited, and I was like, I think the baby moved. And the midwife was like, yes, I can see the head. I can see the head. The baby is moving. So it took probably like five of these breathing, not even pushes, just really breathing down, tensing my stomach muscles. And next thing I felt was the ring of fire, and I was like, oh, that really stinks. What is that? And midwife said, that's your baby's head. That's your baby's head. And my husband got really excited at that point, and he just had a little peek, and he started crying. He said, I can see the baby's head, and the baby's got so much hair. We didn't know the gender at that point. So that was another really exciting thing for us because we just wanted to experience that, experience together because we didn't have that. He didn't see the baby, the first baby coming out, and I didn't see that either. So I was just so happy that we could experience it together. And there was the ring of fire, then the baby just kind of fell out. My husband caught it with the midwife. He didn't even have a gloves on. The next thing I know is just the baby starts screaming and someone is putting it on my chest. I'm still on my all fours. I'm just holding the baby and my husband starts saying, "It's a girl, it's a girl." And we really want the girl. And I was just in tears. It just went so quickly, you know. I just felt that rush of hormones and I was crying. And the next thing I felt was, oh, something else is coming out of me. And the midwife just literally put her hands in. She's like, oh, here's your placenta. It was literally like 45 seconds after the baby came out. Placenta just literally fell out of me, which was quite crazy as well. It was so quick. And then, yes, we left the placenta in a little metal ball and we had the golden hour. Even though the baby, we could see the baby was so tiny. It was, when the baby was weighed, it was only 1 kilogram, 925 grams. So it was a really tiny baby. However, the midwife did not take her away. She just left her on my chest because she seemed very happy. We left the placenta. We didn't clean the baby. We just lied there for over an hour, just really enjoying everything. And yes, I said to the midwife, "You are like my hero. You are an angel. Like, I love you. You made the whole experience so great." She didn't interrupt us with anything. She just said, "Listen to your body. I'll do what you want to do." It was just beautiful.
I've literally been with you, next to you, like this whole time with this story, your first story, your second story. Wow. Oh, I don't even know what to say. I'm so glad that you got that triumphant experience of whole, having your baby and being there, being present, not being put to sleep. And I'm so glad your midwife stood by you because there were so many points where I thought, some midwives would have done a different thing, and she went with you. Like, even to the point where you said, "I think I'm ready to push." Some midwives would say, "Oh no, we need to check you first." Just things like that, different ways of practicing. So she
Especially
sounds like
that
a gem.
I had the epidural because I felt everything. As I said, I could still walk around. I could still feel the surges because I maybe pressed it two or three times. So I could still feel everything. And she didn't even question that. Maybe you feel less. Maybe you're not ready. Maybe I should check you. Maybe I should help you push. Nothing. She was very quiet. She was
Phenomenal.
just listening, answering whenever it was necessary. But other than that, she was just there. She was just present, floating around the room around us.
And she helped you stand in your power and make your decisions. And so when you look at her and say, "Wow, like you're amazing," it's all she did was held the spell space for you to do what you are designed to do and what you throughout this whole story and your previous story, what really has kind of stood out to me is your intuition and your how strong that was when you knew that your baby was fine. It was small, but it was fine. Like, and you can't say to someone, "Oh, I've got this data to back that up." You just knew, the way you said to your husband, "I know my baby and I are well." And it feels like you carried that same connection with your body and intuition throughout this whole second birth.
Definitely. And just being informed just made me not really take other people's opinions into consideration. And I say the word opinion, not facts, because I am such a people pleaser in general. It was really hard for me to go against people in authority. And I just because I felt so in peace, and I had that information. I think that just kind of helped me to overcome that people pleasing aspect of me.
And
And
that's the thing, pregnancy and birth can be so expansive in that way that you learn stuff about yourself. Like what you're saying is, it's not just the labor and the birth, it's the whole thing that offers these opportunities to grow yourself.
exactly.
So, talk to us about postpartum.
I mean, there's nothing really much to say about it. I just feel like we're just back to normal, you know? Physically, I didn't even tear or anything. It was, I feel so good in myself, mentally and physically. Like I don't even feel that I gave birth, 6 days ago. It's crazy.
It was
6 days ago.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I have to put that in the description. Wow. Yeah, you do not look like you're in the thick of newborn. I've been hearing the baby cry a few times on the audio, but wow. I wasn't even able to like articulate like my
I
name
mean,
at 6 days.
we just never stopped. We've been going to playgroups with our toddler and soft play when, I mean, it's just like back to normal, you know? I
Wow.
feel so mentally clear. I don't have that weird brain fog. I can sleep peacefully through the night. I don't have nightmares. I
It
don't wake
healed
up in the
you.
middle of the night seeing shadows with the corners of my eye. It's just such a different experience.
Wow.
And it just shows how the birth can affect everything, not even postpartum yourself, but just you as a person. I feel like I can stand against anything now, you know? Like no
Wow.
one can tell me what I can do. I can say no to anything I want. If I stand my ground, I can get things done my way
Yeah.
because I know I can trust myself.
Yeah. Gosh. I love this so much. Well, thank you so much, Julia, and a big shout out to your incredible husband for standing by you during this time and just, yeah, thank you for gifting us this story. And I say this all the time, but you may not hear from someone and you may not know what people think, but just know that you've put it out there now. And in the same way that you probably listen to the stories of my podcast, you have gifted back your story, and there'll be people that will learn from your story in years and years to come. But if someone did want to reach out to you, am I okay to put some form of contact or an email or an Instagram link or anything if someone wanted to talk to you?
Yes, I've got an Instagram.
Yeah.
I will send you a little DM later,
Yeah.
so
And do you have any
I'll get
photos
you.
from the birth or
I
postpartum?
do,
You
yes, I
do.
do. I've got the photos of the room, me being in the
Yeah.
pool, so I'll
Yeah,
send it over
lovely.
to you.
Send it over and I'll do a
I
stories
will do.
highlight for
Thank you for
this.
holding the space.
Thank
Thank you
you.
for letting
I
me
hope you
talk.
saw how gripped I was. I literally feel like I'm now like you've kind of, I don't know, imprinted that story onto me. I'll be thinking about it into the night. But yeah, I learned a lot through listening to you, and I know that people will. So thank you so much.
Well, I will be looking forward to hearing about your birth experience. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mentally preparing for it to be fast. I know we don't know what could happen, but I've just got this feeling that my body's gonna start and it's not gonna stop. You know that intuit, like that knowing. I just can't imagine it being slow and drawn out. I think it's gonna go fast. I was speaking to one of my midwife friends, and she was like, "I will bet money that your doula won't make it." So yeah. Anyway, who knows? You never know. Could
Who knows?
be long, but whatever happens, I'll embrace it and learn from it, as you said. Thank you very much, Julia.
Thank you
You're
very much as
amazing.
well. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.